Salzy, tell them where we are.
Tell them where we are.
Tell them where we
are.
We're
in the boardroom, mate. We're in the boardroom. We're at Stormers HQ at the DHL Stadium, mate. We're in the boardroom. Nobody knows we're here, mate. Wait till they find out.
The guys who we love the most love us the most. So, obviously, with the big derby days coming this week, and we are based in Cape Town, we put out a little plea to Johan Le Roux, the owner of the Stormers, and said, can we please come and shoot our show in the Stormers boardroom? And he said, of course you can. You're always welcome here.
I see you made yourself at home with that nice cappuccino, mate. Jeez,
look at these beautiful mugs, man.
It's quite nice, must admit.
Oh, and the Stormers are 8 from 8 in all competitions. They've moved in here pretty much under the new ownership a year ago.
Yep.
Offices are just pristine. I just want the rest of South African rugby to follow suit. Okay? When I walk into the Bulls, the Sharks, and the Lions, and the Cheetahs, I want to see.
You're unplayable.
I want to see. I want to do that walk of fame and see the history of that club like I see it here.
Yeah.
And I want to look down and I want to see a great stadium. I'll look up, I want to see a great mountain. Know that I'm talking about a team that is 8 from 8, and we're talking victories.
What would you like me to say about that, mate? I mean, yeah, it'd be great if all the South African teams were at the top of the standings.
Don't tell anyone you work for the Stormers.
But look, here we are.
Yeah, here we are. Investec Champions Cup, the two rounds are gone. The block is out. The tightness of that competition, and I did a little conversion of all the pools. And the Sharks, the South African Sharks, not the Sale Sharks, they would be, of the 24 teams, they would be in 18th position at the moment with 5 league points. And the top team is the Glasgow Warriors, Franco Smith's team, with 10 league points.
Sure.
Well, not the top team. It's Northampton Saints, Bordeaux, and then Glasgow. Those three have
10 each,
2 league wins with a bonus point. So when we resume in the second week and the third week of January, and when they decide who the last 16 teams are, there's everything to play for 18 of the 24 teams, including the Stormers, who are listed 5th with their 9 points, and their points differential of 30, which shades Leinster. They're in 6th place, points differential of 25. The Bulls, pretty much out of it at the moment. They are got 1 point, but they are minus 58 point differential. And Powell, Clermont, Leicester, they look out of it, which is good for the Stormers because Leicester has to come here in that last game. And hopefully they'll be 0 from 3. And then their focus goes on to the domestic competition. And it's a gimme 5 for the Stormers. That's 5 league points.
Well, I mean, like Al Davis, the former owner of the Oakland Raiders, said, just win, baby. Don't worry about the points, just win. And I think that's what all the South African teams need to focus on. The Stormers seem to have a pretty good handle on that. But I mean, the permutations are telling. Like you said, this comp is so tight that basically the 18th team could draw level with the team that's currently in the top three if they win in their next match and one of those top three teams loses. So it is tight.
I know you always out at the HBC in Belleville. You do the hard yards. I mean, does the coffee taste as good there as it does here?
Even better.
At HQ.
Even better.
Where the Larnies sit.
Mate, there's a drop of sweat in it.
Mate, this is magnificent.
Yeah.
Tastes like gold.
Well, you enjoy that, mate. You enjoy that. It is great to be here. We've got Table Mountain in the background. It's a fabulous, fabulous.
It's been a long year, but it's been a successful year, okay? It's been a successful year for the Stormers in terms of the season. 25-26. Great start to the Investec Champions Cup for them. They are the one that has to fly the South African flag. We've been speaking about the interest of the Investec Champions Cup in South Africa compared to how it is up north, where historically it's only ever been a European competition. We did get some stats from the EPCR after the first two rounds, and we've got some stats from our own show. And our show on our social media channels for the fortnight combined for 1.2 million views. And SA Rugby Magazine published 130 articles and 230 social media posts across all their channels, and obviously the Kieran Zell's WhatsApp channel and SA Rugby. So there's been great education, great awareness here. But if you also look just globally and up north, the EPCR reported the broadcast audiences surged with the peak TV viewership exceeding 2 million for the Toulon home game against Bath. And the Stade Mahal was packed as well. First 2 weeks in the EPCR Challenge Cup, Investec Champions Cup, 452,000 people that had paid to go watch a game. 3.65 million total digital media engagements and 3 million YouTube highlight views on the EPCR channel. And that is one of my favorite channels to go to because within 20 minutes of the game, the highlights package is there. And I especially like seeing the Sharks win. I like seeing the Stormers win. I've watched that highlights many. Maybe I'm like responsible for 2.9 million on the Stormers.
Mate, you're like a calculator today. Just numbers.
Just numbers. But also, mate, the finals in Bilbao in May, 60% of those tickets sold for the Friday and the Saturday night final.
Wow.
So while...
Who bought them? Like, I mean, you don't even know if your team's going to be there. People just want to be
there. They want to be there for finals weekend. And just the feedback that I heard from Cardiff last year, they got 45,000 to the Bath Challenge Cup final match.
Yeah.
And they got 75,000 for Saints and Bordeaux. That's back to back. That Vegas strip was pumping. I think it's going to be a different kind of feel in the north of Spain.
Less vomit.
But one that I think, Zales, you and I should be there. And it would be great if the Stormers were there as well.
Well, I mean, when they played Bayonne, I said to Tobo, hey, mate, I don't know if you know, but you're just down the road from the venue of the Champions Cup final, and you'll be back.
And then we don't have to pay for your flight.
Incredible, mate.
And accommodation.
You don't have to fly us over there yourself.
Jeez, it was hardcore. And I look like Freddy Krueger while you look like Wolverine. And you know me like that. But just, I love the competition. I've been following it for 30 years because of just the quality of the teams there. If you look at the Toulouses, the Bordeaux, the Leinsters of the world. Great to see a South African team up there. Great to see a guy like Paul de Villiers. He played against Bayonne, played against La Rochelle. Imi Kom was man of the match in Bayonne, but it could have been Paul de Villiers. He was man of the match there. Joined most turnovers in the competition after two rounds. He's been nominated as one of the five players for player of the month leading into the 25-26 season. And I just think it's fantastic that there is that acknowledgement of the South African players in the competition. The Sharks, crucial, crucial win. I mean, it really does set them up because they got one home game as well. They could catapult into a top eight if things go their way.
What's happened to you, mate? What has happened to you?
They changed their coach.
Now we're talking about catapulting them to the top of the EPCR Champions Cup standings, mate. What are you talking about? You wrote them off.
I didn't write them off. I wrote them off when they sent the kids to Toulouse.
Okay.
And then I backed them. Sia will look after the surge. You were late to the party because you had to take your Stormers hat off for a moment. And then you said, I actually agree with you. I think they can actually beat Saracens. I got on the blower to Saracens. I said, I need you to rest Atoji Farrell and Jamie George, okay? Mate. I need three of your big guns out for this one, and I need a lot of wet weather. I need Andre the Giant to be the captain, Hooker in at center with him. I need George Whitey to just do the basics.
You shifted
I need
up.
Sia to empty the tank for 51 minutes, and I think there could be a bonus point winning it for the Sharks. And lo and behold, it happened.
Mate, exactly as you called it. Incredible. So are we saying we expect these guys to push up now?
I'm expecting the Stormers to host the last 16. All will be revealed, obviously, in that fortnight in January.
Yeah.
But I am expecting the Sharks to win their home game and potentially sneak one away from home. Different coach, JP Peterson, different attitude. Springboks starting to come back. They don't play again till June. A lot of their rest periods will be over following the South African URC derbies. No more excuses out of the Shark Tank, mate.
Mate, don't you think the Sharks are a team that have the capacity, just because of the quality of players they have, to ambush somebody in a playoff on the road? Like they, I don't know, maybe they have that quality about them. You know, you could just see, I mean, as much as they weren't successful against Toulouse on the road a couple seasons ago, there were moments in that game where Grant Williams was electric and scored a great try. And there is quality across the board in that squad. You just wonder whether they aren't a team that might just sneak into the playoffs and then ambush somebody in the round of 16.
As long as it's not in Cape Town against the Stormers. I will concur with you.
Well.
I will concur with you. But I am backing the Sharks. There's life. There's life in the Sharks once again. They needed that win. And they needed it against, which was a good Saracen side, not their best side, but a quality team loaded with some very, very established and good players. And they did it backs to the wall, terrible conditions, not with 40,000 people screaming them on. They did it the hard way, but there was something different about their mentality, about the fact that they looked like they were playing for a new guy, that they were playing for a different cause, a winning one.
If the Sharks now rally, mate, and they go on a run, and they are successful and they climb their way up the table in the URC and they're competitive in the Champions Cup. Who will have been playing 10?
George Whitehead.
There you go, mate.
Because for this, for what they've got with Andre the Giant at 12, Hooker at 13, I'm glad they brought him into the midfield. Okay? Yeah,
at last.
JP Peterson.
He knows the centre when he sees
it. He knows the centre. He also knows a winger. And he knows he's more valuable there. We know he can play win, but they do have good win options.
Mm.
But I think if you're looking for, if you look at Sia Mazuka, I think he plays too far behind the game line, given how they play. Secondly, Jordan Hendricks, that unpredictability, some miracle plays that don't always come off. Think about George Whitehead, and he's proved it over and over. Every club he's gone to, he is Mr. Consistency. Not quite good enough to play test rugby in terms of his all-round game, but a great squad player. He reminds me a lot of Clinton Swart, who was drafted in from the Pumas to the Stormers. Guy's never going to let you down. He's going to kick his goals as you have to. And what you really want there is someone, and George Whitehead's been around forever, I think maybe longer than me, and he understands rugby.
Mm.
And as a 10, that you can't buy in a 20-year-old. He's been around, and I just think kudos to JP for also trusting him and let Jordan play his way back into form, be it from fullback and also be there to potentially play the last 20 minutes or play certain games at 10. But outside of having the brilliance of a Sasha there or a big name player at 10, I think they could come through with what they would think the most unheralded 10 that they've had.
Mm. I mean, look, I'm a big George Whitehead fan. I think if you're playing the numbers, he's a great guy to have because he'll kick his kicks. He understands the kicking game. He may not be the flashiest guy on attack or defense, not a high impact guy in that respect, but in terms of game management and sort of making sure that the margins are narrow and that you're playing the percentages, I would think he's a great option for them. I'm not sure whether that meshes with where the Sharks are right now, but maybe that meshes with where they're going to. So, yeah, he's not the same kind of player, but he reminds me a bit of Willem de Waal in the sense that he's a guy who's a kick-first mentality. And he really understands how he can control the game through the kicking. So I think he is a quality player. I just want to see the Sharks kind of harness it. Jordan Hendricks is a guy that you and I rated very highly a couple of seasons ago. We were shouting his name to be in the box setup. Big chassis, big boot. You know, he's been in some big games. What is the road back to the top for him?
Well, there was a lot of dispute about should he have gone to the Sharks. Because the Sharks, where they were positioned, could be career killers.
Mm.
They weren't playing well. He did well in the Curry Cup side, that famous last minute 55-meter penalty to win the Curry Cup for them against his old team, the Lions, at Ellis Park. Then this idea came that he should play fullback with his big boots and that. And to me, he is more 10 than a fullback. And maybe his confidence took a bit of a turn. He had a few injuries. I mean, he's still a kid. He's a young player. He will come through at this level. I think they just need to settle on how they want to play him, where they want to use him, and let him naturally grow into the game. I always just find when he plays, it's like he's trying to prove that he has to be there.
Mm.
And four years into his professional career, I don't think that should be the case.
Mm.
It's very much a thing of you're a Springbok. You've done it on the biggest stage, so continue to do it. But I think he can learn a lot game management. From a guy like Whitehead.
Mm. I just think like the ceiling on Jordan is obviously higher because he's got a longer career left. George Whitehead's 36, was born in the 80s. So the clock's ticking there. As much as he's a good band-aid for right now, obviously Jordan's the guy you want to come through. And the Sharks have had question marks around that 10 position, it feels like forever. So it'll be good for them if Jordan actually did sort of step into that jersey and fill it out.
But if you go back to the Sharks when they were successful, they had a Henry Honeyball in the 90s. Then you had Butch James. And they had Joel Stransky before that. These were quality tens, test playing tens. Stransky won the World Cup. Butch James won the World Cup. And you'd think that was the one area that they would focus on, not having 54 props and 18 locks.
Yeah.
And 14 winners.
Yeah.
So that's where I think the recruitment has been poor.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
In how they've who they've had at 10. And they've always gone in the past for like youngsters, a Kerwin Bosch being an example. But to want to play a different game, I've always said a Kerwin Bosch, you stick him in the Italian leagues, you stick him in certain French teams with that booming boot, goal kicking accuracy, never has to tackle. He can play in the pocket. He's always going to do well. But if you've got a dominant pack like the Sharks, you need someone You need a Butch James, Henry Honeyball, who plays close to that gain line, who brings the likes of Andre the Giant and Hooker into play. And then you're going to get those line breaks. And significant that they got 9 line breaks against Saracens. 5 to Andre Esterhazen, 4 to Ethan Hooker. And if you see, George White, it takes that ball a lot flatter than any of the other 10s there. And that's significant. You know, Andre the Giant used to say the best 10 he played next to was Marcus Smith at Harlequins because he took the ball so flat and can kind of like half put him through the gap. Sonny Boy Williams, when he was playing the Chiefs, said Aaron Cruden was exactly the same player. He took it just on that cusp and actually created that half a yard for him to make the contact and go through it with their physicality and their handling skills. So I look at the Sharks. I think if the Sharks gone down to Saracens, heroic or not, it would have changed the dynamic of this weekend's Vodacom United Rugby Championship match in Durban. I think there's going to be 40,000 people there. I think that's how many tickets they've made available. And my understanding is they're pretty much sold out.
Brilliant.
For the derby against the Bulls team that should include some of their big heavyweight Springboks again. I'm expecting to see Pollard there, a Wilco Lowe there, a Steenkamp there again, a Ruan Nokia. So it'll be a different quality of Bulls side that comes down. The thing is, mentally, how much damage has been done to the Bulls. To concede the big one at home to the Lions, 40 points plus, and they were out of it. They scored a couple of late tries to make the scoreboard look half respectable. 33-22 up with audio box against Bordeaux. Never in the game in the second half. Lost at 46-33. And it could have easily gone past 50. And then going to Northampton and being 7-5 down, semi in the game on 32 minutes and conceding and losing 50 points to 5. Now, they've traveled back. They only got back on Tuesday. They have 2 sessions and they go to Durban. The humidity, a Sharks team with a new coach, fired up. I just can't see the Bulls actually winning that game.
Yeah, and I think that in itself kind of makes them more dangerous because that squad is full of so many good players. I know they've got some injuries from this week that they've reported, but still, the quality in that squad is just so ferocious. For them to go down to Durban with that squad against the Sharks team that is one win removed away from not being so great themselves does make them a tricky team. It'll come down to it on the day. We know, regardless of the quality of the performance, it's going to be intense. And for the Sharks, they're going to want to build on that recent success and start gathering some momentum. I'm sure that'll be the key focus for JP. But for the Bulls, they're in a deep hole. And I don't want to say they're at the T-junction this week, but you kind of feel like they're also running out of time to start finding their feet.
Well, when I was at the Champions Cup launch, Trevor Nyakani, Dion Faree, Stemma Hans were there, John Smith was hosting. And John Smith asked the question, when are we going to, South Africans, start playing against the overseas teams like we do when we play against each other?
Yeah, totally.
And we're getting right back to that. It's derby weekend in the whole competition. There's 8 massive derbies in the URC in every country. We're going to touch on the overseas countries a little bit later. But form goes out the window. It's the old cliche, but it means nothing. It becomes another Springbok trial for Rassie Erasmus.
Yeah.
Even though he doesn't necessarily need the Springbok trial, these players want to prove a point that actually maybe I am a bit better than that guy, and he may be one in the pecking order nationally, but I think I should be one in the pecking order. So if you take it's a Bongi against a Johan Grobler, that should be juicy, to say the least.
Yeah.
Grobler has established himself at the end of the year tour, and Bongi's like, hang on a second, I'm not done yet. I'm just pacing myself, okay? I'd accept Malcolm Marks is up there.
Yeah.
So that's just one of the kind of like showdowns, and then you look at that combination of Andre the Giant and Ethan Hooker, and you just want to see them grow more and more and play more and more together. See Fussy come back again and kind of get more game time, get more confidence. And look, my personal favorite, Sia Khaleesi. I mean, he does empty the tank, and he just gives the team so much when he goes out.
Totally.
And then are you going to say anything, bud? You disagree with me, eh?
Yeah, keep going.
You know, podcast is meant to be two-way
thing.
That's why you're going to do all the Stormers talking when we get to the Lions, because you've done all the prep. But interesting, they're talking about Cameron Hunnicom potentially being back in the mix this weekend.
Huge.
I don't know it, but if he is, that will be
huge.
Great. Ulrich Lowe, we saw him. He's into his third game. 58 minutes he got. He was their star performer. We know what Ruan Nokia can do. Obviously, we know the big guy, Wilco Lowe, Godzilla. And then Pollard. I mean, any team that's got Pollard at 10 and a pack with parity can never be written off. So I'm looking forward to a really healthy, strong South African derby attended by 40,000 people in Durban as the precursor to the big one the 3rd of January in Cape Town, when the Bulls come to Cape Town, North South, and they play the Stormers. There's no test match cricket. There's no traditional New Year's test, even though we are the world champions in test cricket. So everything is set up for a sellout crowd on the 3rd. But before that, you've got the Stormers playing the Lions. Indications are it's going to be 30,000 plus tickets that will be sold. A lot of the season ticket holders may not be here because they're normally in Cape St. Francis Bay or Stormer. So the money's in the bank for the Stormers, but the money may not be on the seats. Tell me about the Lions. They're one of your favorite teams.
Oh, I love the Lions.
You used to wear their jersey.
I do, mate.
Now you're under contractual obligations not to.
Not to.
When you did start wearing their jersey, they never won a game, I think, in six. So you took it off
jersey,
again.
Mate.
But explain the Lions to the layperson out there that's not necessarily a Lions supporter.
Yeah.
And doesn't quite get when they win matches you think they shouldn't, and when they lose matches you think they should.
Yeah,
the Lions winning.
Are a tricksy, ricksy little team. They've got some great plans. They've got some really good players, some underrated guys. I think that underdog status in that squad, the sort of depth of that underrated status, gets the best out of some of these players. They're a team with a point to prove. They can attack, mate. They can score points. Only two teams have scored more points than the Lions in the URC this season. The Lions are right up there. If you look on form, mate, only two teams have on a longer hot streak at the moment in the URC. So the Lions are a very dangerous team. They've got teeth, mate, have the Lions. And I suppose the one thing they'll want to improve is their defense, their ability to stop other teams from scoring. But they've got pieces across the park. Kieran Horn leads the kicking game from the back. You've got Ruan Fenta as an absolute hitman in the collisions. Etienne Ouste is an underrated slugger in the pack. Obviously, Feast Mode at number three is a unit. And then a bunch of workmen like guys around that. Frankie Horn, obviously a quality player. They're missing JC Pretorius. I think he was a guy who added real value to their defense. And they're expecting Kruppie back. Obviously, Kruppie will play this week, so...
Henko van Wyk
is also
big
very
for them in the
midfield. Yeah, I saw Rabs Maxwani was back last week. He's a very underrated finisher. So they've got quality players there. Again, it's just the defense that they need to sort out. The rest of their game is looking pretty solid. So they'll be a tough opponent.
Where do teams make the mistake against them?
So the Lions, the Lions want you to try and take them on, I think. The Lions want you to get into a sort of slugfest, you know. Let's see who can score the most tries. And I think that if you sort of get roped into that game like the Bulls did, that can be tricky to stop because they are conditioned for that game. They react to that game much better. And it's a game that they've got 10 years in the tank playing that game. So if that's not your bread and butter, you're going to get sort of undone there. It hides their weaknesses and brings out their strengths, I think. So against the Lions, your fundamentals have to be good. You have to get control of the game line. And you have to try and limit their opportunities to attack you from transition, I think.
If you look historically, first season of the URC, Stormers came back from overseas, got pumped. Their first ever game at the DHL Stadium by the Lions. It kind of was a reset button. The Stormers went on to great things. They won the competition. They went on a winning streak, 20-plus games at home. And they haven't lost to the Lions since in Cape Town. But they've lost up north in Johannesburg to the Lions, and they lost last season to the Lions, where they were very indifferent for the first 50 minutes, especially. When the Lions got out to a big lead and the Stormers just couldn't pull it back. They had to kick for a losing bonus point at the end. So there is a healthy regard from Dobbo and the coaches for the Lions. It's not something that they look at and they think the weakest of the South African teams playing in the Challenge Cup. They're a team that has troubled the Stormers in the past.
Mate, they're the second best South African team on the URC log right now. You know, they're above the Bulls, they're above the way above the Sharks. So they are a dangerous team and their plan is clever. Like I say, just a few little missing pieces. I think once those things click, they will be dangerous. And in all fairness, if you had to compare the Lions squad to some of the other squads, you're probably not picking the Lions players en masse ahead of any of the other squads. And I think that does make them dangerous because those guys want to prove a point, but it also is a reflection of the quality there. So when they have an injury, it really does hurt the Lions.
But if you look, Kabakani and Klapp is about the only two that have been with the box. So they have a very settled combination.
Definitely.
I know they get hurt when they do have those frontline injuries, but it's not a case that the other teams have had, especially the Stormers, Bulls and Sharks. You've got an exodus of 19 players going out from the Nationals to the National squad and coming back. And that is an advantage they should Totally. We're using far more effectively. And I think we saw that in that win against the Bulls. They were basically in the lager for 3 weeks training for that game, came out and whacked the Bulls. I was in Cardiff, I only saw the score and then I saw the highlights when I got home. But they race into, you text me 17-0 after 5 minutes or 6 minutes, and then it just got bigger and bigger and bigger.
Yeah.
And they completely destroyed the Bulls in that first 45, 50 minutes. It was a late flurry, but they had won that game. So it's, again, any team that goes to Loftus, and forget the indifference of the Bulls at the moment, and he's scoring 44 points against them and should have had more, deserves to, for the home team to be put on notice.
No, totally. I mean, and that attack is proper. It really, really is. Third-ranked attack that can make you miss. They've got some power elements in there like Ron Venter, Hinko van Wijk. They've got guys that can hurt you there in different ways. And then when you start adding their better than people think kicking game, I think, and the ability to turn you over on defense, they are a massive threat.
All right, 30,000 people expected the DHL Stadium on Saturday, the 20th of December, 5 days before Christmas. Again, we keep on saying it. We get good crowds in Cape Town. It is the festive season. But these players have been going all year. The Stormers especially. The last time they played at home was in October. In five overseas, got all five wins. Played in Gqeberha, formerly known as PE for the Colonials out there. and it's another game. They say it's a home game, but it's not. The 17,000 came out to watch them, but it's not the DHL Stadium. They don't sleep in their own beds. So they don't come to the ground in in their own cars.
Yeah.
So there will be this eagerness to actually showcase the 8 from 8, but there's also this, let's get these 80 minutes out the way and actually just enjoy Christmas Day at least, because we do have a big game on the 3rd of Jan. So there's not going to be any form of Christmas break for them. What can we expect from a Stormers team? And you're very close to them. I mean, you work with them for this kind of game, the mentality. They're a team that is driven to continue to be unbeaten, to kind of one last hurrah.
Yeah, look, I think, you know, anytime you're playing a South African team, South African players get up for it. If you look at who the Stormers have played, Leinster, Osprey, Scarlet, Zebre, Benetton, Munster, Bayonne, La Rochelle, all great teams, but all foreign teams. And I suppose there's been, you know, there's been a learning for each of those teams, right? You have to learn who are these guys, who are you playing against, or, you know, what are their tendencies. I think there's a real familiarity about the Lions, and any loss against the South African team is one that stings, and the Lions have proven that they can trip the Stormers up in the past, so, and in recent history. So I think that memory will linger. I think you'll probably find that the Stormers will have less difficulty getting up for this game, you know, as opposed to playing a team with players like some of the teenagers that La Rochelle sent down. So I think the fire will be there. I think the intensity will be there. And the game just becomes more technically intricate, doesn't it? Because you kind of know each other's strengths and weaknesses. So you've got to, it's a bit more of a chess match from that respect. I think it's going to be a cracker, mate. I think everybody's going to be very keen to put their hand up. Like you said, Rusty will be keeping an eye on this particular performance. And there's good players across the board in both teams that have made a statement this season. Paulie de Villiers is a guy you mentioned who's done well in the Investec Champions Cup. He's an absolute key player for the Stormers. Ben Jason Dixon, the list goes on. So
Evan Roos,
can't forget about him. Lots of great players. So, I think this is going to be an absolute crack. I love these derbies, mate. This is what the South African fans get up for. It's what the South African players get up for. Everybody knows everybody else. There's nowhere to hide. There's no shade. You just got to go for it.
Needham for sure. 100th test. Brock Harris, an icon.
100th test.
Or 100th test. Look, I'm already putting him back in the box setup. Freudian slip. 100th match for the Stormers. Becomes another centurion, and you look at the list of those centurions at the Stormers, some of the biggest names that have played for the Stormers and obviously for South Africa. Brock Harris never got to play for South Africa, but is the most heralded of the centurions. One of the finest props, could play both sides.
Yeah.
And then obviously the World Cup winners, Frans Malherbe and Steven Kitsoff. And now Nedlin Foshier joins that front row group of 100 matches. Forged his own identity, popular in the team, an emotional guy, knows what that jersey means to him. What's the mood like that in the camp with a guy like him to give him that proper Christmas gift of a win on his 100th?
Yeah, I think everybody obviously wants to pull that through for him. I think Nietling is just one of those really unsung heroes, very underrated. I think anytime you come through in a sport underneath legendary players, there's always that opportunity that you're going to be overlooked, you know, because people are measuring you against the best week in and week out. It's kind of the opposite, I suppose, to being in an underdog side where you're the hero that stands out weekly. And maybe people can have an overrated opinion of your ability. But Niertling has been Mr. Consistent, offers massive value, obviously, at scrum time, but then even more so in general play with his skill set. Fabulous guy. He's had a leadership role with this team, obviously, on numerous occasions. I can't believe we're already at 100 caps, 100 appearances for the Stormers. That's just, I mean, it's just crept up on us in a way. So very happy for him, and hopefully they celebrate it with a big win against the Lions.
Yeah, and I mean, he got his test cap this season, long overdue. But for a large part of the last three seasons, he's carried the workload in the absence of seasoned Springboks like Frans Malherber, and really kind of done that tight-head role.
Massive.
And with those youngsters that are coming through now, the mentorship role that he plays as well.
Yeah.
So we talk about having a true club man, and true club players kind of make for a successful and a great club streak. And we spoke about it earlier in the week. A coach can't teach players to scramble on defense. You also can't teach a player to want to play for his mates on the inside or the outside. And it's kind of, you've seen it with all the good sides. We saw it with that Lions side that did three successive Super Rugby titles in finals in a row. The Bull side that won three in a row. Certain Stormers and Province sides in the past. The Sharks on occasion. You saw that camaraderie when they won the Challenge Cup two seasons ago when they came into that last surge, played five great games, Eben leading the charge from the front there. But I mean, this is a tight-knit squad, humble. I saw that again over the weekend, understated, but very tight and kind of feet on the ground.
Very much so. Very, very much so. I mean, that the culture at the Stormers is very much around that. You know, nobody is bigger than the team or bigger than the game. And even though they've got some huge characters in there and they've got some really creative players, everybody's on even keel there. And I think that's fantastic. And I think that also is what contributes to that next man up thing at the Stormers. You know, everybody really is treated the same way. So it's a fantastic trait to have in the squad.
All right, Stormers against the Lions. I think it's 3 o'clock kickoff at 3:30.
Yep.
3 o'clock, and then it's Durban Sharks against the Bulls. That's the follow-up one. There'll be 8 URC derbies. If you want to know who I'm picking, I'll put it together a nice accumulator. Go to africapicks.com, and it'll be a win-lose basis. I'm going to pick my 8 winners. There should be good odds for you there. I've been fairly successful this season, especially when it came to the box and the Stormers. So don't dismiss it too lightly if you want to. If you want to be responsible, you have some cash to put down, then do so, and you will get some returns because you're unlocking the Kieran Zell's brains trust here when we give you that. Big day on Saturday in Cape Town. It's going to be a festive crowd here. But a man and a good friend of ours, Mike Greenway, Gringo, when it comes to journalism, legendary in KZN. I know he commutes now like mostly everyone in the Shark setup. They commute between Cape Town and Durban. He commutes between Joburg and Durban. But he wrote put together two fantastic coffee table books, Bok to Bok. It celebrates the two successive World Cup wins. And then it's the Fireside Bok.
Brilliant.
Just wonderful tales,
yeah,
of the history of the Springboks. We are going to give that away, courtesy of Zal's, because he's going to give you his own two books. What must people do to get it?
Well, mate, it's a great keepsake. It is a great keepsake. And this time of the year, if you're giving away gifts, Christmas gifts, I mean, I think if you're a Bok fan, or if you're gifting somebody who's a Bok fan, these are really two books worth having. I don't know. Maybe we should just do it on the results in the derbies this week. Maybe we should go Stormers, Lions, Bull, Sharks. I think people have to pick the winners. If you pick both winners successfully, and we'll go, I suppose, on the margin. Whoever gets the closest margin in those two games.
Yeah, I think if you can pick, look, let's do it because Gringo is a Durban boy.
Yes.
So let's do closest result, Sharks.
That's
against the
shot.
Bulls. So we take any bias out from you when it comes to the Stormers.
That's a great shot.
And so Acer will put it together on our WhatsApp channels and on SA Rugby Magazine's Facebook. There'll be a poll. You'll get to vote and put in your score, who's going to win, what's the score going to be, and you will definitely win both those books. And they retail at about $1,500. That's a great, great prize. But like you say, it's a keepsake.
Yeah.
It's a keepsake. And then also another great promotion that SA Rugby Magazine's running is if you just sign up and you register, it took 30 seconds for me to do it last night. It's 489 rands worth of 12 digital mags. You get a free coupon. You don't pay for the Digimag. You get 12 issues free into your inbox for the year. And you go into the draw for 100,000 rand cash prize that will be drawn June in 2026, just before we start the international season with the Nations Championship and obviously the greatest rivalry tour. When the All Blacks come to town, they play three test matches in South Africa, fourth somewhere else. We think it's the USA. And they play the four URC teams, starting with the DHL Stormers in Cape Town at this incredible stadium with those incredible views. So go onto those social media channels. Also, if you're talking about winning and it's the festive season, Castle Lager, 130 years, rally your squad, the taste that stood the test of time, the legacy cans, the legacy cans. And Zells, we talk legacy, we talk Brock Harris, we talk Stephen Kitsoff and Frans Monhaber. Could you please give a heartfelt message from us to the next legacy player, Nietlin Foshier?
Nietis, congratulations, bud. 100 appearances for the Stormers is something amazing. You've experienced it. You've walked the highs and lows, and you sweated in the jersey in some big games. We just want to say well done. Here's to 100 more, bud.